Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Lake Show, Stephen for Henry tonight. Here's some of the sports headlines, if you're just joining us here on the Lake Show. Rocco Baldelli out as manager. Derek Falvey, Twins president, and Jeremy Zoll, general manager, will meet the media tomorrow. So the first step, is this the only step, just bringing in a new manager? We will find out tomorrow. We'll certainly have it covered throughout the day here on the home of the Twins, and then tomorrow night here on the Lake Show, Henry returns. Steve Thompson sitting in, Chris Tubbs alongside. One thing we didn't mention earlier in the show, and I think we should do that, is the playoffs. And they get started tomorrow. Detroit and Cleveland are in. The Guardians rally, win the division. And they will go head-to-head, so American League Central foes. They'll play the early game tomorrow at noon our time. 3 o'clock game, San Diego takes on the Chicago Cubs. Tomorrow night, imagine this. The early window. Red Sox, Yankees, and then in the nightcap, Reds, Dodgers from L.A. And, of course, Seattle, Toronto, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee, the top four seeds. They await the winner of these first-round series, which give Red Sox Yankees tomorrow night in the prime time window, if you will. And I guess I can't be surprised about that. All right, we're going to shift gears, so to speak, and talk NASCAR. Jordan Bianchi joins us from The Athletic. Jordan, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me on, man. Always great to talk.
Yeah, frequent flyer miles galore. You put on the miles, my man.
I do. I've got great mileage on the airlines and great hotel perks. It's one of the upsides of doing the job we do.
Yeah, and it is crazy. We talk about it in this sport, you know, from the time speed weeks down at Daytona, but really the travel starts before that because, you know, I know they were out for that show at the LA Coliseum. Yep. For a number of years, and then it's down to Florida, and then it literally not only is all over the country, it's now all over the hemisphere, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, we had a race in Mexico City this year, and it's, you know, NASCAR is very much a growing sport, and the expectation is you're going to see them race in Canada within the next year or two. Mexico City, they're not returning there next year. But the hope is, and the intent is, that they're going to be back there within the next few years. And also, I'm going to throw this out there, too. Like, Brazil is very much on the horizon, too. And I wouldn't be shocked at all to see NASCAR race in South America sometime in the very near future.
Yeah. And you were just in Kansas at Kansas Speedway, Hollywood Casino 400. And I've heard this guy's pretty popular. Chase Elliott in the Hendrick Chevrolet goes to victory lane.
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR's most popular driver, right? Maybe he's heard of it once in a while. And, you know, sometimes it's not whether you're the fastest car, sometimes it's whether you're in the best position or not, and it came down to it, and he was. And, you know, Denny Hamlin and Bubba Wallace racing there for the lead, Harden to turn three. Denny kind of pushed up the track a little bit and got into Bubba Wallace, and Chase was there to capitalize, and boom, wins that race in the second of the year and puts him into the next round in the semifinals. So, yeah, big win for Chase, and it kind of answered some questions about him and the Hendrick Motorsports team and what they could do and everything. And like I said, sometimes it is about having the fastest car. It's just about being in the right place at the right time and being able to capitalize, and Chase certainly did that.
And I can imagine, though, the people at the top of the sport are good with that. That having
to make it to the next round
of the playoffs, you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's NASCAR will tell you. I mean, well, they don't know if they'll say probably, but listen, Chase is the most popular driver. And, you know, when people are interested in him, and he's got a long history in the sport through his father and everything, and when he does well, there tends to be a little bit more eyeballs and everything. So it's good to see. You know, victory lane has been something that's been hard for him to get to the last few years. He just has one other victory this year, won just a race a year ago, and then the year before that went winless. So, you know, he has been running terribly per se, but certainly not the expectations that he has or his team has, and nowhere near to the level that he once was, you know, when he won the championship in 2020 and then a couple of years after that.
So the Roval's coming up next at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and this is a combo speedway road course.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, there's elements of the oval that they incorporate into turns one and two, and then down the backstretch a little bit, and then three and four a little bit. But it is really a road course. I mean, it's a hybrid, but it really is a road course. It's the only road course in the playoffs. That certainly adds a wrinkle of it as well. And the thing about the Roval, you know, ever since it came in onto the schedule in 2018, is it's kind of a bit of a wild card race. You know, a lot of weird things have happened, a lot of chaos, a lot of calamity, just a lot of different things that have happened that have kind of made it an unpredictable thing. And it's added an interesting wrinkle. The drivers will tell you that's not always a fun wrinkle for them. But for those of us watching and who cover the sport, we kind of like it because it adds that chaos factor as well. But we'll see, and it certainly has the potential of it. And they redesigned it a little bit last year to kind of made it a little bit more evil, if you will, in a couple of corners. So it should be, hopefully, Sunday's entertaining.
Yeah, so Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott going to that, they're into the round of eight. They're good to go. I mean, that on some level, that's got to be a great feeling. I know these guys are super competitive and want to win the race. You don't get to this level without, you know, whenever they drop, you know, the green flag, that you don't want to be first across the finish line. But, you know, they're in a great spot. They're through to the eight.
Yeah, I mean, it's just stress-free, right? Like, you don't have to worry about the pressure of whether you're going to advance or not. And then really in Blaney's case, and in some degree to Elliott too, it's like, it allows you to prepare for what's coming ahead in that next round. And that next round's the semifinals, and if you can do well there, it locks yourself into the championship. And for Blaney's case, it gave him a two-week head start of saying, hey, here's what we need to do. And the first race in the semifinals is in Las Vegas, which is a pivotal race, because after that is Talladega, which is Talladega.
And who knows?
You know, exactly. And so what you do now is for the next last few weeks that the Blaney's team has really put all their focus on Las Vegas. What do we need to do here to go there and optimize our performance? And if we can do that, it's going to help us get to the championship race. It's knowing what the answers to the test are before you take the test, and now they get to study for it in advance. So that's such a huge thing, and it has been a pathway for Blaney and for Team Penske for the last few years of why they've been able to win the championship.
Yeah, and you look at these standings going into Charlotte and the Roval next week, and you know, sure, there's a top eight and anything can happen, but you look, I mean, number three, Kyle Larson, plus 54, Denny Hamlin, plus 48, Christopher Bell, plus 44, William Byron, plus 40. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty comfortable, barring a complete disaster.
It really is. I mean, if you look at it, the way it's kind of shaked out the last couple of weeks is that a lot of these big names you all mentioned, they're feeling pretty good. Now, catastrophe could strike on Sunday and you could get an upset winner and everything. Those guys are feeling pretty good. But it's the other guy, it's the Joey Logano, who's right on that bubble, who's looking at this going, man, we are in a tough spot here. And then you look at the guys below him, Ross Chastain, he's really good in these races. Austin Cindric is good in these races. Tyler Reddick has won on a road course before, and Bubba Wallace is always competitive on these road courses. So it's those guys that you named are feeling good, they're feeling confident, but the other guys below that, certainly less so.
Yeah, and Cindric, 48 back, he's got to be thinking, I got to take the checkered flag if I'm going to move on.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a must-win position. I would throw Tyler Reddick in that position as well. Yeah. And Bubba Wallace, where they just look at the point standings, and yeah, like, things can happen, and a lot would have to go your way. Yeah. It's not impossible. It's just very unlikely. They're in a must-win position, which I will say, going into a road course race like this lays out your helps you lay out your strategy much more clear. You're not chasing points. You don't have to worry about, hey, we got to finish eighth. How do we get to that spot? It's like, we are all in on winning. That's all we care about, and we will take any chance we can. And any risk we have to do in terms of strategy or whatever, if it's going to give us an opportunity to win this race, we're all in and we're going to do that.
Jordan Biagi joining us, covers NASCAR for The Athletic on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We certainly do appreciate his time and talk motorsports here. So round of eight, that would be the semifinals, if you will. And you got Las Vegas, Talladega, and Martinsville. So you got the mile and a half in Vegas, always a popular spot. Mm-hmm. Talladega, who knows? Mm-hmm. And then Martinsville, the old school short track. And then, of course, the championship race at Phoenix. And they'll close it out there in the Valley of the Sun in early November. Now, I did want to ask you this, because it's floating around this idea that this playoff format may go away and they might go old school and just go to a season-long points race like they did for many, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
What about that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the likelihood is that NASCAR is going to have a different championship format next year. That, I can tell you pretty confidently, that's going to happen. Now, what that's going to look like,
Yeah. That's
TBD. There's been a couple things that have been, you know, that are out there that they're considering. The one thing that has been on the table, too, has been the 3-3-3-3-3-4 format, which is basically a three-round playoff format. That has certainly been considered, going back to the old 10-race chase format, which is 10 races all the way through, and whoever has the most points after those 10 races wins the championship. And then, as you mentioned it, Steve, the other thing that has been certainly talked about and is very much on the table is a season-long championship, which is the traditional thing, which is 36 races. Whoever's got the most points after 36 races, congratulations. Here's your check and your trophy, and you are the series champion. It's going to be interesting to see where NASCAR settles on. Something is going to be different next year about this format. What that is exactly, they're still working through right now. There isn't anything that they're 100% locked on. They're going through the process, and I think you're going to see something in the off-season announced. But what that exactly is TBD at this time, but it will be different for sure.
What do you prefer?
I like the playoffs. I'm a playoff guy. Listen, I'm on an island when I say this. I like the format we have now. I know people hate it. I know traditionalists hate it, and I consider myself a traditionalist. I really do. I don't mind it. I like the mentality of you've got to go win races. I like the mentality of putting drivers in the corner and pushing these guys to the brink, because it has been proven that when you make drivers uncomfortable and you push these guys hard and you uncomfortability, it makes the product on the track better. I understand about fairness, and I understand about integrity and all of these things for the championship, but I don't think that what Joey Logano did last year when he won the championship was unfair and hindered the integrity of the championship. To me, Logano went out and did something that everyone else in that field could have done, and he did it because he dug down deep and they found a way to win. That should be rewarded. I like the playoffs. If they wanted to change it in some level, get that. The 3-3-4 format I mentioned, I think, is probably the best way to go. We'll see what happens, but I really would not like to see a season-long championship thing. I just don't think going back to how that was is going to do any good. And I think if in this day and age, when you're competing for eyeballs and you want attention on the sport, I don't think having a championship that could potentially be settled well before the finale is a good thing.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, we still don't know, but I'm sure you'll report that as soon as when you would. I would assume an announcement of what this will look like would come fairly soon after they decide a champion in early November in Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're not, they don't want to announce anything now.
No,
because
no,
anything
no.
you do now will overshadow anything else going on. It's just not a good look. But once that season ends, I would think you're going to see something coming up. And, you know, whether that's December or January, you know, who knows? Traditionally, if you look at how NASCAR historically has done things in recent years, January tends to be when that'll happen. I will say this too. There's also a federal trial that starts that NASCAR is involved in. We talked about this last time I was on your show. That starts in December too, and I just don't know if that's going to be the time when things are going to be, you know, really focused on too much outside of that. So we'll see. But I think sometime in early January is probably my guess.
Yeah, it'll be a very interesting off season for sure in the sport. Jordan, always good to visit with you. Enjoy Charlotte. I know it's a home game for these teams, and I know they're grateful for it.
It is. It's a playoff race in Charlotte's backyard, and it's fun, and everybody shows out for it, and it's a big deal. So it's going to be a fun race this weekend.
Yeah, and the teams don't have to go on a long road trip.
You know, amen on that.
They can hang out.
Miles.
All right, Jordan. Thanks.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate you.
Bye. There he is, Jordan Bianchi, joining us, covers NASCAR for The Athletic. And once again, they'll cut it down to 8 drivers after the Sunday show at Charlotte, Bank of America Roval 400, that kind of road course part of the oval in the mix. 822 Lake Show, Steve in for Henry, Chris Tubbs alongside here on News Talk. 830 WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Lake Show. Once again, Stephen for Henry, typically in on Saturdays. By the way, Henry is right back here in the chair tomorrow night. Chris Tubbs doing all the heavy lifting. Rocco Baldelli fired his Twins manager. Lynx out of the playoffs. Vikes now 2-2. They'll be in London on Sunday, among the big sports headlines here locally. And, of course, over the weekend, one of the big sporting events every 2 years, the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black, Bethpage State Park on Long Island in New York. And there was a lot of lead-up to this event about how rowdy it was going to be and the European team would come in and it would be really tough. And the United States, well, as it turned out, the Europeans built an almost insurmountable lead going into Sunday's single play. They dominated Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, on the course, looking at the scores, almost made a miraculous comeback. Ultimately, the Europeans hang on to the cup. They needed 14 points. They ended up winning the match 15-13. But it was a complete blowout on Friday and Saturday. And things really got ugly on the course. Not all, some. Banter, vulgar language, taunts at the European players. And it's really left to mark, including former Ryder Cup player and captain, all-time great, one of the all-time greats. Tom Watson weighed in on it. You could read Tom's comments on social media if you so choose. And I think any observer of sport and anybody who's played golf or cares about golf would know that the behavior by some was despicable. It is not what the game is about. It is a game that does have rules of etiquette and how you carry yourself as a player. And I think anybody who goes to a golf tournament should know how to behave. For instance, the Masters every year. Strict ban on cell phones. No phones on the course. And if you get out of line, they ask you to leave and not come back. It's golf. And people who go to a golf tournament should know it. It's not a wrestling match or MMA or a football game or a pro hockey game or any of that. Where I think maybe the behavior can be different. But in this case, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for those people and what they did to this great event. It's completely out of line. There is no defending it. And I think there were attempts on social media and some of the things directed toward Rory McIlroy and some of the other European players. And I just don't think there's any way to defend it. And something needs to change, because in 2 years, the Ryder Cup will go across the pond. The Europeans will host in Ireland. And then in 4 years, it'll be right here at Hazeltine, down in Chaska. And Jim Suhan, I think, wrote a very nice column about it. And I think a lot of people have talked about this. And my thoughts are this. Just because you buy a ticket, you don't have the right to be publicly intoxicated, use vulgar and or hateful language, and verbally abuse the officials or players. I'm a big believer in that. And I don't care what the sporting event is. The people around you, men, women, and children, don't need to hear you. Now, you can cheer, you can boo, or you can cheer bad shots if you so choose. But I think this idea, because you paid to get in, you can act like a complete idiot, is 100% wrong. And I just... people don't go to these events and spend that kind of money to put up with jerks like that. And I think Jim Suhan's column hit the nail on the head. And I ask you to read it, and I couldn't agree more in what's been said about this. When the Ryder Cup comes here in 4 years, I hope people realize they're going to a golf tournament, and that there are rules and there are etiquette. And then there's also a way to treat fellow human beings. Sure, you can cheer. You can even laugh if they hit a bad shot. But I think some of the insults hurled at the players, and then beyond that, their families that are there, it's just way, way out of line. And I don't know if you have a thought on it, if you watch the Ryder Cup, if you feel strongly one way or another. But I do believe in this. And I'll say it again. Just because you buy a ticket to a sporting event, you don't have the right to be publicly intoxicated, use vulgar and or hateful language, and verbally abuse the officials or players. And I know people will say, well, what's your definition of verbal abuse? You know, and friendly razzing. You know, what crosses the line? Who decides that? Come on. Think about your fellow spectators. Do they want to hear you? I've told the story, and I'll tell it again, because I think it's important. My oldest daughter years ago wanted to go to a Viking game, wanted to see what it was all about. And she was 11, 12 years old. And we got tickets, really good seats, upper deck of the Metrodome, but like fourth or fifth row. at like the 40-yard line. From a friend of the family who was a longtime season ticket holder, going back to the old Met. So these were really good seats, really good sight lines, upper level. I'm not kidding you, 40-yard line, but only like four or five rows up. But I had to warn my daughter going to this game. I said, there's going to be people there that use bad language, stuff Mom and I don't say at home, and you're certainly not supposed to say. And they're going to be drunk people. I know it's a Sunday noon game, but they're going to be drunk people. And sure enough, we get there half hour before kickoff, settle into our seats. We had some drink, some food, you know, sodas, popcorn, whatever. And the Minneapolis police are already hauling a woman. This is a half hour before kickoff, a Sunday noon game, from the upper reaches of the Metrodome, swearing at law enforcement and very, very intoxicated at 11:30 on a Sunday morning. There's kids. Really? And, you know, Chris, I know you go to Viking games, and I want to talk more about this. And what are we doing here? And we'll do that following the break. And I really want your feedback on fan behavior and decorum. I'm not saying it's got to be a library. I'm not saying that. But it also doesn't have to be what we saw at times during the Ryder Cup. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. What is that line for you as someone who attends a sporting event? What is crossing the line? 651-461-9226 here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Bad fan behavior front and center, really overshadowed in some ways, in my opinion, the Ryder Cup. The Europeans blowing out the United States Friday and Saturday in team play. Singles matches, there was certainly a lot of drama as the United States came back. Ultimately, the Europeans win it. Shane Lowry closed it out with a putt on 18 to clinch it for the Europeans. Victor Hovland withdrew from an injury, wasn't able to play his match with Harris English. That gave a half point to the Europeans before the day started. So that mean they only needed 2 points to retain the Ryder Cup. They ended up winning at 15-13. So it wasn't a 14-14 tie. Some people have been saying that's dumb. Well, it's always been that way. The rule where if a player is injured, the match, if it isn't played, they share the half point. I think you can solve that by having an alternate or two, or one of the vice captains could step in and play if there is an injury. I mean, okay, there's a way to fix that rule. And then as far as if you already have the cup and it finishes in a tie, you keep the cup, why would you change that? I don't want them to add sudden death or they go to a putt off or, you know, the first player who drives the green on one, you know, wins the Ryder Cup. I don't want them to go to some sort of shootout.
Don't make it too gimmicky then.
Yeah, no. If you want to change your rule if someone's hurt, have an alternate. You know, so that you can fix. But if the Europeans tie in 2 years in Ireland, they keep the cup. If it's 14-14, you know, I'm fine with that. But back to the fan behavior. And it crossed the line. And I did pull up with Tom Watson, the great Tom Watson, one of the all-time greats, major champion, Ryder Cup captain. Here was his post 11 hours ago. I'd like to congratulate Team Europe for their victory. Your team play the first few days was sensational. More importantly, I'd like to apologize for the rude and mean-spirited behavior from our American crowd at Bethpage. As a former player, captain, and as an American, I'm ashamed of what happened. Folks, that's coming from Tom Watson. I don't know if I can add to that. And that brings up the bigger question. And I use the example of the football game. Pro football game, Metrodome, Vikings, Cardinals, years ago. 20 years ago, at least. My oldest daughter was young. Took her to a game. And then I forgot to add during the game, there were knuckleheads, you know, 6, 8, 10 rows behind us from the upper level of the Metrodome yelling at the officials, dropping words you can't say on the radio if you don't want to get in trouble, and were clearly intoxicated. Players and the officials couldn't hear them, but we sure could.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, spoiled the experience. So it becomes one of these, cheer, boo, have good-natured fun. But when you're just swearing and drunk, I'm sorry. You shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I am. Go ahead, Steve.
No, and I want to, because you're a Vikings season ticket holder and have been. You go to sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you on this, on fan behavior?
I get kind of embarrassed by a lot of what I see, fan behavior, because just because you're wearing a jersey does not mean you can be an a-hole to somebody that is not wearing that jersey. Number one, this is a multi-layered conversation. I don't think that you can look at somebody who's wearing a different jersey. You know what? I hate you, and I'm going to confront you just because we root for different teams, because we are potentially from different parts of the country. I mean,
like visiting fans. Now, in fairness, I've been over to Lambeau for Vikings, Packers, mm-hmm. and I would say in general, it's good-natured.
Oh, yeah.
I will say the parking lots, the tailgates in the game, very good-natured. But I think Viking fans have had bad experiences in other markets. Philly comes to mind, et cetera, et cetera. But I think game in, game out in the home stadium, whether it's a visiting fan or not, and I know the clubs, the teams are trying to police this, and you can text and get security and so on and so forth. But I think there's a bigger attitude. Why are you going to a game and acting like that? Be an adult. Be a decent human being. Have fun, cheer, boo, that's fine. But the language and the public drunkenness, come on.
Yeah, I think when you're dealing with the vulgarity and the drunkenness and you've got kids around you, you know, some people are parents and we understand that, hey, you know, just because you're there having a good time, somebody might be there with their kids, their son, their daughter. It's a family thing. This might be the only game that they can go to for the entire season. And
for sure,
you ruin it by getting so out of control. And if you're going to sit there and you're going to swear and, you know, you're going to get excited for your team and everything, I don't have a problem with you, you know, getting excited. But if you see that kids are around, to me, I just feel like you need to read the room, and you have to understand that maybe this isn't the time or the place to get all, you know, all colorful with the language. I mean, we've all sworn at the team. We've all said things that, you know, we probably shouldn't say. The words that George Carlin said you can't say on television, we've all said them during the course of a game. But I know that if I've got youngsters around me, like when I'm at a game, I don't really cheer a lot when I'm there. I just don't. You know, I'm much more reserved, number one, because of my job. But number two, I will go out of my way to try and make people, and especially kids around me, feel comfortable. and to let them know that where we're at, it's going to be, you know, a quote unquote safe space around us.
Yeah, and I think there are events that have laid down the law, and the Masters is probably the most famous. You want to come to our tournament, you're going to behave the way we want you to behave, or you're gone. And once again, I direct you to Jim Suhan's column, and I think it's right. And I think when the Ryder Cup comes back to the States in 4 years and is out at Hazeltine, I think they should make it up front. I think the PGA of America, who runs the event, I think the organizers at Hazeltine have to sit down and talk about, you know, the alcohol consumption and the behavior expectations. If Rory McIlroy hits a bad shot and you want to cheer, no one has a problem with that. But cruelty, name calling,
but it's
yelling in his backswing. Yeah. It's not part of the game.
It seems though that tennis and golf seem to be exempt from any sort of you know fan interaction when they're actually in the process of performing. Yeah, I mean, would you agree that you can't go out there like Happy Gilmore and, you know, make all that noise, but there are certain it seems a little snooty if you know you're golfing and you can't say anything, you can't make a noise at all, but you can do it during all of the other sports.
Well, and here's the thing: a hockey game or a basketball game or a football game or a baseball game, you know. Chatter is part of it. You know, you play ball. I remember playing, you know, little league ball in the neighborhood. The other team's all right. You know, hey, batter, swing, you know, and all of this sort of stuff. It's part of it. You get into golf, you learn to play golf, and I learned to play as a youngster. You don't talk when other people are addressing the ball or hitting the ball. I mean, there's etiquette in the game. And as a spectator in going to a golf tournament, you should understand the game and what's appropriate. If Rory McIlroy duck hooks it into the pond and you want to cheer, no one's going to complain. But barking at him or his playing partner or saying something rude to his family that's walking along, it's not part of it. And I think it should be made crystal clear to the people, you are going to a golf tournament. This isn't a UFC fight. You know what I'm saying? That
there's a certain expectations and decorum with those that maybe are not present at some other sports.
Correct.
Yeah.
You go to tennis, and it may be perceived as snooty, or they think they're better. That's not how the game is played. While they're addressing the ball and making their shot, keep your mouth shut. But I don't think there's any place in any sporting environment, even at a cage match.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Where the vulgarity or insulting someone's family is ever appropriate. You know, and that just gets back to, you know, where are we going to draw the line on what civilized society is? And I think it is fair. We got a text. If they hauled out more drunks, maybe the others would take the hint and behave better. And I think that's up to the venue about serving and over-serving and people pre-gaming and coming into the venue bombed. What's security doing here? Wow. It's 11:30 and you're really drunk. You can barely walk. You know, I don't know.
And that's one thing I've never understood, spending all of that money for a ticket to an event. And then you're just so incredibly inebriated that you don't get anything out of it. I'm like, why would you spend that money and waste that money when you're going there and you're not going to enjoy yourself at all?
This reminds me of one of my favorite stories of all time. And I was in Sioux Falls, a town you worked. We will come back and tell the story. I was hosting a charter trip, a Viking trip to the Metrodome years ago when I was working in Sioux Falls. And we had a charter full of Viking fans. And you are going to love this story. And we'll do it in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Bad Bunny. Halftime Super Bowl. Henry is back tomorrow night. Steve Thompson and Chris Tubbs here. Talking about fan behavior and about pre-gaming and drinking. Years ago, I was in Sioux Falls, late 80s to the late 90s. About a 10-year run in Sioux Falls. And along the way, I hosted some tours, kind of like Good Neighbor tours. We'd get on a motor coach and we'd come up to the cities and go to Viking games. So we had a packed motor coach for a noon game on the road. It's about a 4-hour trip on the road at 7 a.m. We made a pit stop, get to the Metrodome, I would say about 11:15, 45 minutes before kickoff. Now, people were allowed to pregame on the bus or drink if they so choose. A couple of guys on the bus drank a little bit too much. When we got to the Metrodome, they were out. I mean, out like a light, weren't leaving the bus. We go to the game, get back on the bus, and it was kind of like on the road by like 3:45. I mean, there was a strict head count, we're leaving. These two guys are still sleeping it off. We get down to the Mankato area on the way back to Sioux Falls. Because you kind of head down 169, pick up 60, head for Sioux Falls.
Yeah, just kind of, it kind of takes that angle.
You kind of take that angle. You can go through Wyndham, go to Worthington, you can cut down, whatever. These guys come too. On the way back to Sioux Falls, and they look around. When are we getting there? It a 100% true story.
Oh,
these guys spent all the money on the motor coach, all the money on tickets, and these were good seats. We were like 6-7 rows up in one of the end zones. It was fantastic. Great view of the game. Really cool. These guys come to on the way home, it's starting to get dark because it was a little bit later in the year.
Oh,
when are we getting there?
That is hilarious. I've never heard that story.
Anybody on that trip will never forget it. Absolutely true. These guys missed the entire game. Unbelievable. Not going to name names, but an absolutely 100% true story. Rocco Baldelli out. We'll learn more tomorrow. Derek Falvey, Jeremy Zoll will meet the media. We'll have complete coverage here. Henry's back tomorrow night. Big thanks to Chris Tubbs. Big thanks to all our guests for joining us here on The Lake Show. My name is Steve Thompson. Have a good evening. Have a great week. And keep it right here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.